God sees beyond anything we can ever see. That's why the Bible is quick to point out to us in Isaiah 55:8 that his thoughts are not our thoughts and his ways are higher than our ways. That's important for us to remember as we look at today's reading in Acts chapter 6, because this is where the early church starts to get organized. It's all brand new for them, as there has never been a church before. I heard it said, if you find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't go anywhere. Well, the church had obstacles, and they were going somewhere. They were on a path to change the world. Growth means life, but growth also means more people. And where there are more people, there are also more problems. This is exactly what we find in Acts 6:1. Listen to it. At this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. I have heard people say that we need a church today like the early church. I know they don't mean exactly what they're saying. They want the presence of the Holy Spirit, but they forget that the early church had problems too. By Acts 5 and 6, the church already had people lying about their offering and dying and really upset widows who were not getting any food and being overlooked, and the implication was even racism. The upset widows were Hellenistic, and the widows who had food were Jewish. That's the early church. They had their problems, but they also had leadership responsible to deal with it well. That is our focus in today's reading, how they dealt with this issue. The disciples knew this problem was not simply telling people to start feeding the Hellenistic Jews. It was also a great lesson on leadership and delegation. See, we have to remember, do what only you can do and not what others can contribute. So in response to this issue, they decided to choose the first deacons of the church. And this point is key. Remember that his ways are higher than our ways. People need to be fed and people need to be served. Listen to Acts 6, 2-4. The 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Pick people who have a good reputation, full of the Spirit, and have wisdom. God has higher ways. It would have been easy to look for those who had been in the restaurant business, worked as a waiter or a maitre d', or even a race relations person. I'm thinking of the issue at hand and trying to connect the issue with experience, but God's ways are higher. God says we need to be Spirit-filled, we need wisdom and a good reputation. Why? Because God is higher and sees further down the road and knows what we need, because the requirements will be a weapon we can use later on. Why these requirements? It seems that the enemy knew that the 12 were willing to die for their faith in God. So he had to attack the next level of leaders, which he did. It didn't take long for these deacons to come under attack, just as the 12 apostles had. Listen to verses 7 through 11 in Acts 6. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and even some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." The deacons' 3 requirements would become 3 weapons to fight the enemy's attacks. The widow's issue was fixed. The church was still growing, and even a great many priests were becoming born again. And that made the religious institution really upset. So they attacked the next level of leadership, and Stephen was in the crosshairs of their attack. And this is amazing. When the religious leaders rose up to fight them, they were unable to cope with Stephen's wisdom and the Spirit. Sound familiar from the verse 2 requirements? We're still not done. They hired people to spread lies about Stephen in verse 11, but they had a problem with that. Stephen had a good reputation. That means all 3 requirements to be a deacon became weapons to fight this attack. When you see God giving prerequisites to a task, whether that be in pastoring, lay leadership, or even in marriage, it's because God sees further, and what you think is going to be a bother is going to be useful in the future. When God says not to marry an unbeliever, a prerequisite for a successful marriage, but you are dead set on marrying that person, you just lost your weapon for marriage. Marriage is hard enough, but to have two different worldviews for life and children, that's almost impossible. And by the way, when the devil thought only the apostles were willing to die for their faith, he got that wrong. Stephen was all in and willing to lay down his life. And we'll read that tomorrow in Acts 7. Stephen died for Jesus. The first Christian martyr was a deacon. It's really easy to find people who know the truth. It's really hard to find people who will stand up for truth, no matter what the cost. You can't skip steps with God. When God gives you a requirement or prerequisite, it's for a weapon. And what you think could be cumbersome is really armor.